I love it when the gospel reminds people to stay awake. So allow me to begin with a story where I was not too awake. Some years ago, I read this very gospel at the mass for my niece's graduation from a grade school mass. It was on a beautiful June afternoon when I presided at this liturgy at her Catholic grade school outside of Philadelphia. About 60 miles away from there, I was serving at a Jesuit retreat house. The mass was at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was followed by a party, a family party. Now, a few days before the graduation mass, I had agreed to hear confessions at the retreat house at 7:30, a few hours after the mass, but at the same time as the family party. Note, I love parties. And so there I was, enjoying myself with my niece, her parents, my family, and friends. Before I knew it, it was almost 6:30, and I was 60 miles away from the retreat house, where I was supposed to be hearing confessions. So I quickly jumped into the car, and I headed quickly up the turnpike, or should I say, speedily, up the turnpike. Yes, I was above the speed limit. And as I was speeding, 80, 85, okay? Yeah, I wanted to get to confession, folks. It occurred to me, what's wrong with this picture? I am rushing, speeding, and yes, violating traffic laws because I was going to be late to hear people's confessions, their sins. The thought, physician, heal thyself, occurred to me. And when I later reflected upon it, and yes, confessed my sin, I realized that in my eagerness to share both in my niece's graduation and to enjoy my family and serve as a priest confessor, I was a bit foolish. I was not prepared properly. In so many words, I did not say no in order to say yes. In this instance, I could have easily asked a fellow Jesuit to take my place. But I think there was pride, or there was something leading me of taking the risks of rushing and even indeed sinning. In a real sense, learning to do this involved that I was out of balance. I was not putting my priorities of preparedness in proper perspective. In so many words, we cannot do everything or do everything will be everywhere. Or as Abraham Lincoln used to say, you can please some of the people all the time, you can please all the people some of the time, but you can't please all the people all the time. I had wanted to please both, and I took a chance. Now, I did not have a ticket, not at least that time. That's another story. But how often do we make this mistake of not managing our time and being prepared properly? As we heard in the gospel, 5 of the virgins were not prepared because they did not learn to set their priorities and be prepared, anticipate, which at times involves sacrificing a good for a greater good. And by so doing, one does grow in wisdom when one learns to be prepared. And as the first reading suggests, wisdom requires that we seek her out. Let us listen again to these poetic phrases. Resplendent and unfading is wisdom, and she is readily perceived by those who love her and found by those who seek her. She hastens to make herself known in anticipation of their desire, because she makes her own rounds, seeking those worthy of her, and graciously appears to them in the ways and meets them with all solicitude. Now, I should mention that when I read this to my 3 sisters, they say, of course, wisdom is portrayed as a woman. Just something to think about. But so often in the midst of our distractible days and midst busy lives, it is difficult to be prepared. Ignatius of Loyola, in his great way of Admirum Dei Gloria, for the greater glory of God, he's really saying, be prepared for the greater good. It's not good versus bad so much. It's the good, say in this case, hearing confessions, but the greater good of being with my family on my niece's special day. I didn't choose properly. The Magis is about being prepared. In my pastoral training as a chaplain, I was once advised by the phrase, to be prepared, to be unprepared. Kind of a paradox. But so often, wandering down the halls of a hospital, I would suddenly be asked to be engaged in a crisis situation. What to say, how to be. My chaplaincy training helped me to be prepared, to be unprepared. Or I used to coach baseball some years ago at both Gonzaga High School and Georgetown Prep. And we used to create a situational drill. We would say, okay, it's the bottom of the ninth, base is loaded, and you are the batter. We want you to be prepared for the nervousness and the anxiety, but we want you to have that desire to be that guy at the plate in that, so to speak, situation. Are you ready? We prepare them for that. This is what we are about in the wider perspective of life, as suggested by the Thessalonians in the second reading. What has and will happen to our loved ones. They want to have a sense of preparation for themselves. You see, this particular letter is the oldest passage of the New Testament, written less than 20 years after Jesus rose from the dead. And they said, okay, Jesus is going to come again. Well, our friends and family are dying. When is he going to come? And so they asked Paul this question. And how does Paul respond? Quote, we do not want you to be unaware or unprepared, brothers and sisters, about those who have fallen asleep, so that you might not grieve like the rest who have no hope. That is, those who do not believe in the resurrection. Paul continues, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose, so too will God, through Jesus, bring with him those who have fallen asleep. That was the belief in 50 AD. We, in 2017, are invited to share in that same belief that Christ will come again. How often during the Mass, in the Eucharistic prayer, we talk about Christ will come again. What's that all about? Being prepared now with the power that our God will not leave us abandoned on this earth or on this life. He is preparing, the Spirit is preparing us now for the greater perspective of time, eternity. What a great gift. But how are we prepared to live it now? Such a way of thinking, such wisdom through this faith was what the ancient Christians from Thessalonica did when they wondered as a community about the loved ones who had died with him. They were preparing themselves. Are we not preparing ourselves when we have an altar table of remembrance for our brothers and sisters who have gone before us? Are we not being prepared during the month of Holy Souls to recognize, yes, people have passed on. We too will pass on someday. Tragically, I consider what happened this time last Sunday when that Baptist church, that congregation was literally unprepared for the travesty and the trauma of such an evil happening. Dozens were killed and wounded. How are they grieving? I like to believe that their faith, at least in the words of Paul, gives them hope that they will be united as a congregation in eternity. But it gives the survivors hope now. They need to have corrections and preparation, but they also need to be healed in a process of their faith. During this weekend, when we remember the veterans and commemorate the 35th anniversary of the Vietnam Memorial, as well as the 99th anniversary of the armistice, which was signed at 11 o'clock on the 11th day on the 11th month in 1918 and ended the First World War, we have much to ponder about and wonder about those men and women who are deceased. Allow me to end with the practice that citizens throughout the United Kingdom did today. You see, for them, this is Remembrance Sunday, and they paused for 2 minutes to remember those who died in their wars. I'd invite us to do the same, not for 2 minutes, but for 30 seconds, remembering those who died in war for the sake of our nation, those loved ones who have died in our lives. Where are they? Can we not be prepared like the Thessalonians, our ancient ancestors in faith, and have a perspective that we are preparing now for eternity? And give thanks to grow in this wise perspective that gives us freedom and gives us power to believe despite whatever happens to us that we might be unprepared for. So many words, my brothers and sisters, in this powerful faith, we have a wisdom that prepares us to be in eternity with our loved ones, with those who have gone before us, in the eternity that God embraces each of our hearts with love from here, now, today, and forever.